Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, we're going to begin with verse 1, and the focus of our message this morning is verse 10. Would you stand in honor of reading God's word? Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Right after "blessed are the poor in spirit," it says, "for theirs is what?" Remember that phrase. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And our focus for today: blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Where have we seen that phrase before? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the very first beatitude, in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And here in this last beatitude, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, there must be some point there, because Jesus starts with this result of a beatitude, and he finishes with it in result of a beatitude. Now, you may or may not remember, but in that first one, when we talked about "blessed are the poor in spirit," we said that it was important because you couldn't accomplish any of the following beatitudes unless you first were poor in spirit, which means, dear friends, that we realize we can't do anything spiritual on our own. We just wrap it up that way. That's simple, I know. But it means we don't do anything spiritual except that it is done through in God and then through us. Does this make sense? And then he said with that, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We're going to talk about this sandwich, if you will. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, first and last. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we realize that we don't even understand Scripture without you. We don't discover anything from your word. You reveal it. Father, it is your Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to read your word and then be enlightened by it. It's your Holy Spirit, Father. So this morning, we pray again that it would be your Holy Spirit's guidance in our heart. Would you help our hearts to receive it so that we're not about our own understanding. We're not about our own ability and education, but Father, it is about an understanding of your word that brings us to the point that we truly are poor in spirit and filled by your grace to do each beatitude that you bring us. Your wisdom we need, your help we ask for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? Well, we've noticed that it starts the beatitude with this promise, and it finishes with the last beatitude with that promise. And there are many blessings that Jesus has given with each of these beatitudes. But he stresses the importance of this one. I guess because without this one, the others are moot, are they not? Because if you don't have the kingdom of heaven, you're not going to experience much blessing. Amen? Unless you are a child of God, you're not going to be blessed beyond this life, and you really won't have much to be happy about here. You first have to be a member of the kingdom of heaven, because without it, you cannot accomplish all the other beatitudes. Now, you remember, the beatitudes we said were not just an action, but they were an attitude. Beatitudes are a place and an attitude that we are supposed to have and to be. It's like being a Christian. If I were to just say, all right, demonstrate your Christianity. All of a sudden, I said, all right, I want everybody to stand up and demonstrate your Christianity. It is a state of being that leads to action. Well, that's where these attitudes are. Remember this. They are a state of being that lead us to the actions that Christ calls us to. Jesus is saying here, when he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying is this, for those who are poor in spirit, for those who mourn spiritually, they mourn their sin. For those who are meek, they allow God to be their strength. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for those who are merciful according to God's understanding, for those who are pure in heart, for those who are true, godly peacemakers. He says, all these things, if you are doing them, are going to lead to the last one. He said, if you do the things that I'm calling you to do, if you are the things I'm calling you to be, guess what? You are going to be persecuted because you will be acting in righteousness. Does that make sense? It's all a culmination. Across the globe, even here in these United States, did you know that there is more persecution of Christians today than there was in the first century? More. You just don't hear about it. We hear about the others because of the Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs, or we hear about it from the missionaries who come back and tell us about the persecution that's going on with Christianity. But today, it's not big news for people to tell you that there are governments and people out there that are persecuting people that believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because they don't want you to know what's going on and that people are being persecuted for righteousness. Why? Because they don't like Jesus. They don't like being told he's the only way. Let's be clear about what this verse is saying. So let's start here. What does this verse not mean? We've done that with every other beatitude. We're going to do it with this one. First of all, this beatitude does not say, blessed are all the persecuted. It doesn't say all people that are persecuted will be blessed. The important emphasis here is what? For righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. In other words, because they are doing what God told them to do. Because they are being what God told them to be. You will not be blessed for being persecuted because you're a jerk. Hello? Listen, it's okay to laugh at that. Because, you know, as we laugh at that, we realize, ha, 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 I hope he's talking about the other guy. You will not be blessed for being persecuted because you're a difficult person to get along with. You will not be blessed for being persecuted because you seriously lack wisdom. Does not say that. And listen, we know of all kinds of people that are persecuted because they're obnoxious. Amen? Listen, more of you said amen to that than you did on the first one. Here we go. You know why? Because we know people that are obnoxious. We know people that are hard to get along with. We know people that don't act with wisdom. Listen to this. When we are arrogant, when we are self-righteous, or when we are inept, we can expect persecution. Hello? I said we can expect persecution, but do not expect blessing to come with it. I remember some over the years, and I'm going to go back a little ways here. For those of you who remember the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, And for those who don't, you're going to know this name. Remember Nurse Ratched? Yeah. Everybody learned to hate Nurse Ratched. And they have even called you that when you tried to put people in their place sometimes when they're sick, right? Don't be Nurse Ratched. I've heard it said even today, and they don't even know where it came from. And then what about this one? Anybody remember The Green Mile? I loved that old movie. It's just a good movie. I loved its morals there, even though it has some crazy stuff in it. At least the good guy wins, right? I like that. But you remember the guard that was evil? He just persecuted people. He was mean to people. Percy was his name. And Percy, you just loved to hate him because he was just so mean. My favorite person to remember comes from MASH. Longtime MASH watcher, and there was Major Frank Burns. Everybody on the show loved to hate Frank, and they made all the watchers hate Frank. And he got picked on incessantly. Nobody ever felt sorry for him, though. Do you know why? Because he called it on himself. Let me just tell you. Don't be a Frank Burns. Don't be the one who's always making people just go, how can we get back at this guy? In brief, let me just put it this way. I'm going to put it as spiritually sensitive as I can. Are you ready? Suffering for our stupidity will not bring reward. That's just as straightforward as I can bring it. Folks, you need to understand that we are not called on to make people hate us because we're just difficult. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 says, we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Did you realize that? God forbid that we would ignore this principle and think that we're going to receive a blessing for acting foolishly. And yet, there's sometimes we think, oh, well, God's just going to bless you. Yes, he's still going to bless you for righteousness, not for foolishness. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells all believers. It says this. Now, you need to go back and read the whole chapter. It's hard to sum up in one or two verses. It said, don't suffer for doing what's wrong. He said, if you're going to suffer, make sure it's because of something that you are not ashamed of. Make sure that you are suffering because it's of righteousness that you've done. He said, listen, Christians, don't get out there and just call people to be angry with you. If they're going to be angry, let it be because you stand for the right thing. Oh, I forgot to tell you, this is not going to be a fun sermon. If you suffer, let it be because of righteousness. Another thing, and the second thing that we're going to talk about here, it does not say that we are persecuted for a cause. Just because you have a good cause doesn't mean that you're going to receive blessing for your persecution in it. You might stand for a good cause in this world, and you might be persecuted for it. But a good cause may not be for the gospel of righteousness. So just because it's a good cause doesn't mean that you're going to be blessed for your persecution there. And if it's not for righteousness, even though it's a good cause, then it is not what this particular scripture is talking about. Are you with me? Third, it does not say, blessed are those persecuted for being good. I'm going to tell you, this world loves and applauds people for doing good. They are happy for people that do good things. This world applauds goodness. But then if they applaud goodness, why do they hate righteousness? Because there's a vast difference between goodness and righteousness. You know what they do for those who are good? They give them man of the year or woman of the year. Look at all the good things they've done. But you know what they do for those who are righteous? They persecute them. Those who do good things for righteousness' sake are persecuted. You know, in his ministry, Jesus did good things for thousands of people. Thousands of people. But what did they do to him? They crucified him. He did good for righteousness' sake. But what did the religious leaders do? Did they give him man of the year? No. They put him on a cross. You know, those religious leaders that persecuted Jesus absolutely lost their cool with Jesus. Now, these men who were normally very dignified, you remember, you know, it talked about how they were so self-righteous and dignified, and they strutted their stuff in the streets and always dignified and wouldn't do the slightest thing that might look like work on the Sabbath day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But these quote-unquote dignified men absolutely lost their cool and went berserk on Jesus Christ. Why? They pulled out his beard, literally. They yanked his beard from his face. They beat him beyond recognition. They mocked him. They spit on him. And I'm going to tell you, they did not do it because he was good. They did it because he was holy. Because he was righteous. And he did it for God the Father, not for recognition on earth. If he had done it for recognition on earth, they'd have made him some kind of king. They tried that, didn't they? They murdered Stephen for this. You remember the martyr, Stephen, the first martyr that we read about in the scripture. Acts chapter 7, I'm not going to go back and read it, but if you want to go back and read in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and following, it says that Stephen confronted the religious leaders and the men of the city. He confronted them with righteous truth. And it said there in verse, I believe it was 53 or 54, it says, they were cut to the heart and they were infuriated. They were cut to the heart. What does that mean? It meant that they were deeply convicted that he was right. And you know what it says after that? After they were deeply convicted that he was right, what did it say they got? Infuriated. So angry that they stoned him to death. So how is it that these same people who give man of the year and woman of the year to people that do good things are infuriated by righteousness? Now, I'm making a big point of this because it's going to come down to this. Not only do they get mad, but they persecute them. I think the story of Daniel kind of helps us with that. Daniel helps explain the world's reaction to holiness. Daniel chapter 6 tells us about the story of Daniel in the lion's den. How many of you remember that story? Give me a nod. Love that account, how God saved Daniel from the lion's. King Darius was the king, and he loved Daniel so much. Do you know why he loved Daniel? Because Daniel lived his faith. He was honest. He was loyal. He was ethical. And he put him in charge of a lot of things, and everything that came under Daniel's touch was blessed. And he had so much going on, he put other people in charge too. So he had a number of different satraps or governors or whatever you want to call them. And they were all trying to do a good job, but one shined above them all, and that was Daniel. So the other governors looked at him and said, man, this isn't going to work. I don't think that we can do what he's doing. He is so good. He is so honest. He is so ethical. They hated him because he did it for God. He wasn't making a show of his religion. Do you remember? The Bible even says that he went into his room to pray. He didn't do it out in front of everybody. He got in his room 3 times a day to pray to God, to ask for direction, to give God praise. And then they had a law brought up to, you know, trying to entrap him, and it worked. But you know what they said? They tried to find something wrong with him, and they couldn't find anything wrong with what he did. They said, it's going to have to be something to do with his God. So we've got to find some way to make what he's doing prayer, the prayer that he's doing, illegal. And they said, we can't keep doing this. As they were watching him, they said this. They said, this man condemns us by what he's doing. Hello? Are things about to start coming home here? This man condemns us for what he's doing. As the character Hamlet said in Shakespeare's play, ah, there's the rub. You see, holiness in God's people will bring about one of two reactions. First of all, if it is received well and right, it encourages them to lead a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not that reaction, it's the other one. And it convicts them and it makes them angry. Why? Because the walk and because the talk of a pure in heart condemns shallow religion. Do you get where I'm going here? I forgot to tell you, this is not a fun sermon. Here's the thing. Did you know that anybody can be good if they want to? Yeah, they can. Anybody can be good if they want to. All the men could be faithful to their wives and loving to their children. All the wives could be faithful to their husbands and to their families. And the children could act like they're supposed to. You know, honoring their mother and their father. They could be good. I'm not saying they'd be perfect. Nobody can be perfect except God himself, the Lord Jesus did. They could be kind to other people. They could even attend church and serve in the church. They could be good. Anybody can be good. Are you with me? The problem is, holiness is something that they cannot produce. Righteousness is something they cannot produce. And when they see people with holiness in their life, when they see people with righteousness in their life, it either makes them say, oh, I want to be like that for my God too. I want to be that for Jesus. Or it makes them say, you know what? They just make me look bad. I don't like them. That's where we are. Holiness is something nobody on this earth can make. Or produce. Holiness and righteousness comes from what? One source. That's right. You must surrender to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, and you must surrender to His Holy Spirit and let Him work His righteousness in you. That's how we get it. You remember Paul and Silas? They went to Philippi. You remember that? And we tell this story, and the kids will remember this story about the Philippian. Anybody? Jailer. There you go. The Philippian jailer. You may recall that God displayed his righteousness in Paul and Silas. They preached and they taught and they were doing good and wonderful things for the people. But what did the town leaders do? Did they give them Men of the Year award? I think you can safely say no. What did they do? They said, you stop that right now. And they beat them, and they put them in jail. So most of the city said, we're mad at you, we're angry with you. They beat them, and they put them in jail. But you remember the story about the Philippian jailer, right? The Philippian jailer heard them as they continued to praise God in jail after being told they couldn't do what they were called to do by God, after they were beaten, after they were put in jail, it says that they sang praises and that the Philippian jailer was led by their actions to ask them, what must I do to be saved? See, not everybody's going to react that way. The jailer fell at their feet and said, I need what you've got. If you're wondering about your own righteousness, if you're wondering about your own witness, is my witness what people need to see? Are they getting a good picture of Jesus? Ask yourself this. Do people love me but reject my Jesus? Then I'm telling you, you may indeed be good, but folks, you are not holy. When this happens, we're not holy. But if some people hate us and others come to receive our Jesus because of our witness, then friends, I believe that you're probably on the right track. Does this make sense? So what does this beatitude mean? We know what it doesn't mean. What does it mean? Scripture says, blessed are the what? Verse 10. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a little different beatitude, isn't it? It's a summation rather than a beatitude, and yet it starts with the blessed, so we're going to call it a beatitude. So what does it mean? First and foremost, it means that we are to be like Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because you see, you won't be persecuted for righteousness' sake unless you act like Jesus, unless you behave like Jesus. We're called to put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and to live it out in our everyday life for the world to see, everybody. So the first thing is, it calls us to be like Jesus. The second thing is, expect persecution. Because if you act like Christ and you try to do good things for righteousness' sake, you will be persecuted by the world. When God's righteousness shows up in your life, the world's reaction is going to be not to give you Man or Woman of the Year award, but to be mad at you for showing them up. Listen to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. Says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus is speaking here. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Time out. He said, if you were of the world would what? Love you. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you, just like it hated him. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. In other words, you're either for him or you're against him, right? Do you remember when Timothy was unhappy about being persecuted? What did he tell Paul? He wrote to Paul, and Paul responded to him, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. He said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, let's repeat the end of that verse. He said, they will suffer persecution. Now, did it say you might suffer persecution? Did it say you may suffer persecution or you could suffer persecution? No, it gives a very categorical statement there. You will suffer persecution. When God's Son came to earth, we hated and crucified him. Why? Because he showed us what righteousness was. He made so many angry, and only a few came to the point to say, what must I do to be like you and be saved? The world's idea of a perfect Christian, you know what that is? Let me just tell you very simply. I mean, you could come up with a lot of different things, but very simply, the world's idea of the perfect Christian is he's a nice guy. She's a nice gal. They never offend. They're easy to get along with. They never rock the boat. They turn the other cheek. They just do good things all over the place. But if this beatitude that we just read is right, then that's not a real Christian. I didn't say that you weren't kind, that you didn't turn the other cheek, but they will not recognize you in love for it. Jesus said, woe unto you, listen, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers of the false prophets. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. In other words, let me just put it straight out for you. If everybody likes you, you're a false prophet. Whoa, pastor, that's pretty mean. No, if everybody likes you, you're a false prophet of God. If the world loves you for being a Christian, you're not doing it right. Again, I've got to remind you, don't make them hate you because you are difficult to get along with, because you act stupidly, because you're just mean and ornery and etc. You know what I'm saying. But do they hate you because you stand for righteousness in God? So if everybody likes you, you're not doing what you're supposed to, because you see, if you share the truth, most people don't want to receive it, and they won't like you. Isn't it the truth that to become like God, to become like Christ, we have to become His light? True? He said, you are the light in the darkness. Remember the little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember? We are to be the light of the world. And when we're the light of the world, you know what light does? It exposes darkness. And when darkness gets exposed, they don't like it. Do you know why? It makes them look bad. Light always exposes darkness, and therefore darkness hates the light. Are you light? There's some folks not going to like you. We're not to be offensive. We already talked about that. We're not to be foolish. We're not to be unwise. And we're not to parade or make a show of our Christian faith. But we are to live it every day and share the reason for the hope that is within us to all around us. We're not to do anything that calls for persecution. We are supposed to be what God called us to be, and thus we will receive persecution because we are people of righteousness. The fact is, when you become like Christ, you will be persecuted. We're blessed when we are persecuted for being like Him. God's word said, blessed are those persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. Blessed, happy, content for those who are persecuted for being like Him. Peter, James, Paul, all wrote this. They all said, you are blessed if you are persecuted for being like Christ. Now, why in the world would those guys write, you're blessed when you're persecuted for being like Christ? I'm going to tell you one thing, because God's Son said you're blessed if you are. But here's one reason. If for no other reason you're blessed, which you will be, because God's going to bless you. He said He's going to. And if Jesus said He's going to do something, you can depend on it. But if for no other reason that you are happy or blessed that you are persecuted, it's because you have final proof, dear friends, that you are a true Christian. Because the world's going to persecute you for standing for Christ. And I'm going to tell you, there is a great day coming for those in Jesus Christ. Amen? For theirs truly is the kingdom of God. Wasn't that a fun message? But it's true. I've pledged to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but God's truth. And here it is. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We just got to keep remembering that there is this little dot and an infinite line. It's like a little period with a little line that goes around the world and around the world and around the world until it's like a ball of twine that's bigger than the universe. Because you see, that little dot represents the space of time of our life. And that infinite string represents the beginning of our life with God in heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs who are persecuted at this little bitty point in time are going to be blessed for, you get it. Will we live for eternity or for the dot? Would you pray with me? Precious Heavenly Father, oh Lord God, through Your Holy Spirit, would You give us great wisdom, because You're the only one who gives spiritual wisdom. God, would You give us knowledge and understanding of Your truths that we read this morning, so that when we're called to suffer, We will know without a doubt, we'll know for certain that it has been for righteousness' sake, not because of our stupidity in the way we act. And God, I pray that we would know, because we are indeed comforted by this last beatitude. We know that you have prepared a blessing beyond our understanding for all those who are yours and live for you. God, when we're persecuted, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that we have evidence now that we truly are living for you. And God, help us to stand under it with grace. Give us your strength, because, Lord, we not only cannot be righteous without you, we cannot stand under persecution for holiness without you either. We don't want to react like the world reacts. God, we want to be like you. Help us in great love to share the truth, to live out our faith, and to be constantly about your business. And when we do, we realize persecution is going to come. So help us, Lord, in your strength, not just to bear up under it, but to sing hallelujahs, so that perhaps our jailers would come to know you too.